Hello and a belated welcome back to Line Noise, the Electronic Frontier Foundation's perfectly legal wiretap of the critical national infrastructure. The congressional recess is almost over, which means it's time for millions of Americans to visit the polls, puzzle over their ballot, make some tough decisions, and then desperately try and register those opinions by thrashing at whatever bizarre new electronic voting machine their election officials have seen fit to install. With headlines still filling RSS aggregators about Diebold security flaws, bad user interfaces, and mishandled voting equipment, you can ask almost any computer security expert, and they'll concede that electronic voting in the United States is in somewhat of a mess. One bright note in the darkness has been the rise of H.R. 550, the Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act, a bill authored by New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt to put some transparency and auditability into the e-vote. Thanks in part to a grassroots campaign that included hundreds of EFF members writing and visiting their representatives in D.C., his bill has gathered a broad base of bipartisan support in the House. Sadly, H.R. 550 didn't make it into law last Congress. In a moment away from his campaigning last week, I asked Congressman Holt what would have been different about this election if it had.
Well, of course, the bill, H.R. 550, would have required that by this year's federal election, that all jurisdictions would have a voter verified paper audit trail. It would require that for any electronics, the software be available, that there be no internet connections. It would require that there be a random audit procedure in place. So it would not only ensure the auditability of the election, it would require audits, which, of course, are necessary if you're going to uncover and prevent any mistakes. Sorry to say that for about 40% of Americans this year, they will be voting on systems that are, well, relatively clear, simple, and easy to use, and totally unverifiable.
So over time, H.R. 550 has picked up a lot of support. I just went to its page and found that it now has 219 co-sponsors.
Which we just picked up another one. Another member called me. I haven't been able to sign them up yet because we're not in session. But yes, we're up to 220 co-sponsors now, which, as the civics students will tell you, is a majority of the members of the House of Representatives. As the civic students will also tell you, that's not necessarily a guarantee that the Rules Committee will allow it to come to the floor for a vote. But the reason it has gained so much strength is because there's something of a movement around the country that is demanding a voter-verified paper audit trail. That means that many states are implementing their own regulations, and many citizens, including computer scientists and good government types and citizen activists and others, are demanding of their legislators that that they support federal legislation to provide auditability and audits.
Why isn't this a slam dunk? It seems to me such an obvious thing to include in sort of protecting election systems.
Well, I guess the principal reason is that our election system has grown up over the centuries now as a composite, or you might even say a chaotic arrangement of thousands of different precincts, jurisdictions, state regulations, local practices, and now some federal legislation. There's no uniformity, and so it makes it hard to standardize anything, makes it impossible, actually. And then you add to that the natural reluctance of election officials to have anybody telling them how to do what they are charged with doing. Election officials will say, "What's the matter? Don't you trust us?" Or they will say, "We've been using these electronic machines for years now, and we don't have any problems." To which I say, "How do you know?" if there's no audit or no possibility of audit, even you cannot know whether all the votes have been counted the way the voters intended. Only the voter can know if the vote has been recorded the way that she or he intended. That's why it has to be a voter verified audit trail. But election officials have been resistant. The companies have been resistant. And at first, I think Republicans thought, well, this was just a Democratic bill that was sort of payback for the 2000 election. It was to spread distrust and cast suspicion on Republicans, trying to suggest that they had stolen the election in 2000. I mean, it's not partisan at all. And fortunately now, lots of Republicans have recognized that this is not a partisan bill, and they've signed on to it as well. But for a while, that was part of the resistance.
Well, we'll have a new Congress pretty shortly. Does that mean everything to do with this bill goes back to the beginning?
Sure. In every Congress, all legislation from the previous Congress that was not enacted into law goes away, and you have to start over. But you don't have to start over completely. You know, I think it will be very easy to assemble a large number, perhaps even more than 220 members who want to co-sponsor this legislation. I think because there will be, almost surely there will be problems from the November election, you know, in various places around the country, and some of it will be kind of outrageous suspicions and or just nagging doubts and things that cannot be resolved because there is no audit trail. All of that will make it easier to get this passed in the next session. It's even conceivable that it would pass in the lame duck session.
So why did you personally push so hard for a bill like this?
Well, this is, I mean, it was too important not to. Voting is the central act of our democracy, and part of my reason in running for Congress in the first place, well, now 4 terms ago, was to try to push back the cynicism about government. And I mean that in a variety of senses, the cynicism about politicians and how we do our job. And so I've, you know, worked day by day to try to restore America's faith in our ability to govern ourselves. It was only after I was already in office, it was not a goal of mine to deal with elections, but it was after I was already in office, I realized that we have some real problems that have yet to be fixed that affect the very mechanism of our democracy, which is voting. And so, yes, I've pushed hard on it because it was obvious to me that this needs to be fixed.
What do you think of a sort of open source solution to these systems where you have something that's actually publicly designed?
My legislation would require that the software for any electronic voting system be available for inspection. That does not necessarily mean, you know, that it's completely, that it's freeware or something, but it means it must be available for inspection. You know, as one person said, it's, you know, it's not as if this is super secret encryption software. It just counts. I find it particularly, well, curious and troubling that the vendors, the manufacturers and designers of these electronic machines are not begging software engineers to come in, look at their system, tear it apart, and improve it. Ed Felton, a computer scientist at Princeton, you know, recently got a hold of a Diebold machine, the kind that is in use. The software is similar to what is in use, I think, or certainly it is what has been in use in the past. And he looked at that software and found it full of holes, and he was able to show how someone could introduce a virus quite easily, that would be very damaging and could easily change election results. And Diebold became very defensive. Instead of saying, you know, please, Professor Felton, come and show us how we can improve our systems, they kind of hunker down and say, what's the matter? Don't you trust us? And, you know, I find that kind of curious. I would think that election officials, manufacturers, and you know, and others would want to have their system work as well as it possibly could, to be as secure as it could possibly be. And they should invite critics to come in and expose the problems and offer solutions.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us on what must be a fairly busy week for you. I'm guessing there are no problems in your own district with these machines.
Well, how do you know? how do I know? One of the things that, of course, concerns me is that traditionally recounts or checks are conducted only in a very close election. Because with electronic machines, it is, at least in theory, possible to affect not just one or two machines, but the whole, you know, the whole county, the whole state, the whole precinct, whatever, and result in a rather sizable margin, but incorrect. In other words, to flip the election results in a way that would be traditionally not questioned. That's a troubling thought. So, like most people, don't expect problems in my district. I mean, one of the problems with election officials in general is they don't expect problems. Similarly, I think most candidates, at least the winners, believe that everything was just fine. But we're getting into a troubling state of affairs in this country where more and more losers don't believe the results. And actually, democracy can't survive if we don't have a system where the losers and their supporters believe the results.
Well, on that slightly worrying note, thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
This Tuesday, the Electronic Frontier Foundation's lawyers will be fanning out across the country to watch the vote, give legal advice, and if necessary, go to court to keep polls open, halt the use of malfunctioning equipment, or stop illegal or erroneous practices by election officials. If you encounter any problems on Election Day, you can call us and our partners on 866-OUR-VOTE. If you'd like to support our e-voting work, you can visit eff.org/support and vote yourself with checkbook, credit card, or PayPal. Or, as ever, if you have any other questions, suggestions, or needs, just mail us at information@eff.org. We'll be happy to help.